Oh, hello there. It's the titular Matt Stewart letting you know that I'm going to be in Sydney, Australia, and then Brisbane, Australia, doing short runs of my show, Dryer Dryer. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May. Hey, but also, you might not know this, I'm doing a live Who Knew It with Matt Stewart in Sydney on the 13th of May and in Brisbane on the 14th of May. Holy moly, am I looking forward to these shows. Please get tickets for all of these now. If you use the discount code DOGOON, that might work. I'm not sure, but worth a try. Really hope to see you there. Sydney especially, please come along. Brisbane also, though you're buying tickets earlier, better. Sydney lift, please. All right, I'll see you soon now. On with the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's like I went in Santa Clara the other day. I went to the Winchester Mystery House.
Yep, that was one of our first episodes.
Which, like, and the spookiest thing was, I couldn't figure out how to buy a ticket. So I.
Happy Halloween, or at least the day after when this drops. This is a very special episode for many reasons. Hey, this is Tom, and first of all, we recorded this on Halloween, so last night, if you're listening to this the day it drops. Secondly, it's one of those very rare times that we record an episode and then immediately post it, and that's because our very special guest, Matt Stewart, from the Do Go On podcast, was our guest. He was live in studio and straight from Australia. He was in town visiting, so we did a pod. Not going to lie, very little scary talk in this one, but a lot of fun. Then we recorded an episode of his podcast, Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, that will cross-drop at a later date. Very, very fun time. Great dude. So glad he got to come into the studio and do this podcast with us. Deshaun will be someplace in Los Angeles. Check his Instagram page if you're in town. Then I head to the East Coast next week to do a bunch of shows in Florida. I got a couple of corporate gigs in Orlando, but I'm doing some public gigs in Pensacola for the University of West Florida, Pensacola. So check my website for those details. And I'm opening for Brad Williams in Calgary and Winnipeg right after Thanksgiving. Again, everything's at tomtran.com if you want to get tickets and information. Also, if you haven't checked out my guitar show, The Story Behind the Strings, I dropped a very special Halloween episode yesterday, so check that out. Like, subscribe, do all the things. As always, thanks for listening, and here we go. Welcome to Scary Funny, the podcast where funny comedians talk about haunted places, scary stuff, and things that just freak us out, and we try to make each other laugh. While we're doing it, I am your host, comedian, actor, Army veteran, tired. Tom Tran, I'm here with my co-host, also comedian, also actor, big Lakers fan,
Deshaun Ross.
And our very special guest from all the way from Australia,
Matt Stewart. Thanks so much for having me. Will you edit that pause out where you seem to forget your own
No,
bio?
No, I leave. I leave that in all the time. This is going to be a very special episode for a lot of reasons, because we are recording it on Halloween, and unlike most episodes that we record and then like bank for weeks at a time because of touring, we're going to release this tomorrow, November 1st, the day after Halloween, which is All Saints Day or Dia de los Muertos.
Los Muertos.
For our Southern California friends. And especially because my good friend Matt is here, and I'm very excited about this episode, and I don't want to wait months for this to come out.
That's just blown my mind, because so tomorrow, so this Halloween is like it's like Christmas Eve for Halloween. Sort of.
Well, Halloween, literally, it means All Hallows Eve.
Oh, yes. So, I've heard yeah, that.
All Hallows Eve, meaning tomorrow's All Saints Day in Christian faiths.
So they get rid of all the evil stuff, and then tomorrow's All Saints stuff.
Yeah, I think the way it goes is tomorrow's All Saints Day when they celebrate the saints, and for the Latin American countries, they celebrate the dead. So Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. And the understanding is Halloween night, the day before, is the day that the veil between the supernatural and the natural world is very thin. So that's why you can, like, maybe see ghosts and goblins and things like that. Oh. Those spirits are able to come through. So
that's awesome.
But also it could be a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah. But you believe it, right?
Do I believe it? Do I believe in what? Halloween or
just the possibility that the truth is out there sort of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think that there has to be something above and beyond what we consider normal and regular life, just like what we see and feel every day, like physically and what we can touch, whether that comes in the way of ghosts and spirits. I don't know. I don't know for sure. I'd like to believe that. All this other ritualistic stuff, it's fun and it's like nice to believe. And it's for me, it's a fun thing to believe and maybe like latch onto. But like we do on this show, like I want proof. Mm. Like I like talking about it. Like I like when things freak me out for sure.
Yeah.
But I would like some proof and I would like some evidence. Until then, like I'll do the, you know, I'll celebrate the Day of the Dead and Halloween and all that stuff just as a matter of like I grew up Christian. I grew up, that was part of my faith and it's the things that we believe. And then as I grew up, I saw how other people believed and how it all kind of meshed together.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of believe it. How about you?
Yeah, I'm probably like a level back from that. I want to believe, but I just can't quite mm-hmm. get there.
Okay.
But I'd love it to be true. I'd love there to be something beyond this. You know, love death to not be the end.
Well, let's introduce you first. So you are here from Australia visiting. You're a very funny stand-up comedian and from the very popular Do Go On podcast, which is where I know you from.
That's right. And it's, yeah, it's wild that the world of podcasts, you know, the podcast hands stretch across the oceans
mm-hmm.
and we can touch each other.
It is really weird because I started off as a fan. I don't know, Deshaun, if you even know this. So I started off as a fan of the podcast because of James and Meso from the Weekly Planet, which is the comic book nerd podcast that okay. I listen to. I think you guys were all on the Planet Broadcasting Network together at the same time.
Yeah, that's right.
And at one point, they were like promoting the other shows on the network. And I heard an episode, I think it was the Bigfoot episode.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, they're really great. Oh, and then I became a big fan for a lot of years. And then I reached...
That's over now.
That's over now. No, still a big fan. And then I reached out to you guys a few years ago with a business proposition that we've been trying to make happen for literally 5 years now. And I don't know how much you guys have talked about it. I've kind of kept it under wraps other than like me and my lawyer and you guys and my girlfriend. The only people to know about it.
Right.
It's been a challenge.
We've talked about it a bit. I mean, like, you know, I was already in 2020. I was here in my mind. It was already happening. Like, we were a ways down the... Mm-hmm. Although, since then, I've realized how much harder the visa process is
so much harder
than I realized. But, yeah, that went... Just before COVID hit, I was sure we were coming over.
Oh.
I had it all... Like, it was happening in my mm-hmm. head.
Yeah.
And then again, this year, we'd booked venues.
We got... Yes, we did. We got a lot further, but the State Department effed us.
I'm here. I'm this,
why?
Yeah, why?
So basically,
and name names as well.
Okay. No. So basically what happened is there are a set of requirements. So I'll just talk about it. I'm not going to be coy about this. I was trying to bring the Do Go On podcast to the United States to tour because you guys have sold out in Australia. You sold out in England, the UK, Malaysia. And I wanted to bring you over to the States because I know how big of a fan base you have here in the States. And I know how hard it is to get visas to come over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how hard it is because my sister works for Homeland Security. Right. Like, she is... I definitely can't say what she does.
Don't get her in trouble.
She works for Homeland Security. So, because I live here in Hollywood and I have the resources that I do, and I have a literal immigration lawyer dealing with stuff for me, I was trying to get them to come to the States and do this big tour. And we actually started planning this February of 2020. I know this because when I went back to my lawyer in February of 2023, it was nearly 3 years exactly to the date the last time I went to set this. Anyway, so the problem is there is such a stringent requirement for entertainers to come to the United States to perform. Basically, the standard to be able to get a working visa to come to the United States is so high. Like, you have to get letters of recommendation from people in your field that are above and beyond. So let's say, this is not how it works, but let's say I'm a director from Australia or okay. anywhere, and I want to come to the United States to work. I have to get letters from Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, J.J. Abrams, all these people who are high up in their field to yeah. say, this guy's got the skills to be here to do this, as opposed to an American who can do this.
That's a lot. Why?
That's a lot. Because they want to give U.S. citizens the opportunity to do this, as opposed to people with skills coming from other countries who can tour and like make money, but they want to give the leg up. That and that's really what it is. Like, when it comes down to it, they want to give American citizens the opportunity to make the money, as opposed to foreigners coming into the United States and making the money. So you have to demonstrate that you have such a high level of competence in your field, and you have to get, I was under the impression it was like three letters of recommendation.
Yeah.
We go through this whole process. My lawyer's like, it's 10. It's a minimum of six. 10 will be great, but a minimum of six. And this cost so much money.
Because you got to pay the person that you're getting the recommendation
from? Not necessarily. I had to pay the lawyer.
Yeah.
The lawyer has to pay the State Department. You have fees for not just the group, each individual person.
Of course.
And then you have to get a guild like SAG, but it is a different guild for podcasting and like variety shows.
Yeah. Oh, what's the podcasting guild?
Is it the radio one?
Yeah, it's not AFTRA. Okay. There is a separate guild. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but you have to get them to send a letter about a group of people they've never heard of. So then you have to give them information so they can write. And I'm like,
it's a lot of work.
And well, it, like well,
on the application, like the first thing that we filled out, it said examples of reaching a high standard in
excellence.
Your field.
Yeah.
Example, Oscar awards or Nobel prizes.
Like, you're just hanging out with Oscar award winners.
That's the level. Like, and I think it's so expensive. Like, ask any of our friends who are here from the UK or Australia who's doing stand up. They spend thousands of dollars doing this. And I was trying to get three of them over here.
I remember London was talking about something like that.
Yeah. So it was, and it was constantly me getting the information to my lawyer, them coming back and going, we need more. Or we sent it to the State Department, and they want more. And and here's my favorite part. You can't even send the application to the State Department without having a tour schedule on the books. So I had to go to these venues and go, hey, listen.
You have to book them hypothetically.
Book my group. Under the assumption that the State Department will grant them this visa, because I can't even submit this until you say yes. So luckily, I had just enough juice, just enough, at a couple clubs to be like, let's do this. Do this as a favor for me, and we'll make this happen. And how much do comedy club venues love when you cancel shit?
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome. Especially if they turn someone down because...
Yeah.
Two clubs were like, we got names who want that weekend. I'm like, cool. Great.
Yeah. The whole process gets to waste, all sorts of different people's time, mm-hmm. which I think is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does get to waste a lot of people's time and a lot of my money.
Money and time.
But the
and time is money as
yes.
well.
Oh, my God. Especially with my lawyers.
That's ridiculous.
Who charge by the hour.
Yeah. When it eventually happens... Like, I think breaking even is becoming the new goal.
I want you guys to make some money, but more than anything, I want you guys to come over here because I know how many fans want this to happen. I want it to happen.
We've been talking about it for so long that
I mean, we got really far in the process.
It feels like we know more now.
We know way more.
There's less unknown unknowns.
Yes.
To put it in a classic American terminology.
It was just very much like... When they came back to me and they're like, oh, no, you need a minimum of 6 letters. Mm. Like a minimum.
That's a lot of letters.
Yeah, I know.
No one writes letters anymore either.
Would it have to be from a touring comedian or just
comedian, producer, a booker, venue, like somebody in the field who has personal knowledge of them and how good they are?
Do comedy club owners count or bookers?
I mean, the letters I got were from like Will and a producer.
Like
and,
TV producer?
No, I think it was a tour producer from a tour you guys sold out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was from the British tour.
And that was fine. They didn't tell me these weren't going. Oh, wait. There was one where they're like, he didn't sign this. He signed it electronically or didn't sign something like that. And I was like, cool, you guys could have told me this.
They're just making it harder.
Fucking 3 months ago while I was.
Every time there's feedback, you go back to this time-wise, back to the start of the process again.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and here's the fun part. You could pay the standard fee to submit the application, which is a not insignificant amount of money.
Okay.
And they may get back to you in 6 months. Maybe. Or you can pay an extraordinary amount of money and they will be required to get back to you in 2 weeks. So it's either you sit and wait, you don't pay and you sit and wait, or you do pay and then even when they get back to you, they could get back to you like they did to me and said, hey, we need more information.
So you could pay an arm and wait, or arm and a leg.
Exactly. So that's our relationship.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm here on the holiday or the vacation at the end of the supposed tour, which didn't happen.
Yes, the tour.
But I'm still going to do the the vacation at the end, which is nice.
So that's how that's mine and Matt's relationship, along with Jess and Dave, who at some point I hope to meet, but I really wanted to make that happen this year. But we know more.
Yeah. You gonna try again for next year?
Well, the upside is my lawyer is like, you already paid this money, so
the process is ongoing.
The process is on hold until we get a solid set of dates and the letters of recommendation. But I've already paid the money, so it's essentially sitting in a trust.
That's good. At least they don't make you go again, because that would be hard to justify probably second time around.
Oh, yeah. When I explained this to the IRS, I'm looking forward to explaining this major law fee to my accountant at tax time.
You thinking they're going to think you're laundering?
No, but it's going to be, I think it's because I've never paid that much in legal fees.
Like, what have you done?
With nothing to show for
it. Are you in trouble?
No. But usually when I pay legal fees, there's something to show. Yeah, there's some sort of receipts on the books and come back and go, yeah, I paid this much to make this much or to lose this much.
Yeah, okay.
But it's never been, I just paid this much and absolutely nothing came of it because the State Department fucked me.
How many more letters would you need? Or do you have any of them?
I think minimum I need 3 more.
Can Deshaun write one?
I can write it.
Whether they'll take it or not, that's a whole nother story.
So could you get it from, like, let's say, Russell Peters?
Yeah, if Russell Peters would write a letter for them. Russell, if you're listening.
All you got to do is pop up to the show when he goes, hey, you want time? You know what? Funny as you say time. Could you write this letter?
As a matter of fact, don't even write it. I got it written. You just sign it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to videotape you signing it.
Because if he's going to give you 5 minutes on the show, I just sign this letter. I don't need the time. Just sign this for my guys.
I appreciate that. But that is our relationship. But I'm glad you still made it over here.
Yeah. Having a great time. How was last night? We're going to talk about that? I know this is more about ghosts and stuff.
No, we start off sometimes. You know, sometimes we spend 3 minutes talking about ghosts at the end of an episode.
I was listening to your first birthday episode today while I was wandering the streets.
With Fumi Abi?
Yeah. It's great. I loved how much he was afraid to even, you know, talk about a photo that you had.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't. He didn't want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic. It made me really want to see that photo.
Oh, you'll see it.
I'm glad you said that.
You'll see it. So how has your holiday been? What have you done?
I went to Chicago for 4 nights.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, saw all the sights there, Gary, Indiana, and
right.
had a Chicago style hot dog, deep dish pizza, a shot of Malort.
What's Malort?
Malort's like a Chicago specialty. It's sort of famously disgusting.
Great.
Chicago-based liquor, and it I think it's maybe got a European origin, but yeah, I think they kind of make they make tourists drink it.
Okay, all right. It's like,
and I got away with it. I was there four nights, and it was late on the fourth night that it started coming out. Oh, so close.
Sounds gross.
It's like when you guys make us eat Vegemite.
Well, that's different. We like Vegemite.
I like Vegemite too.
It took me a while as a kid. I hated it. But
I have some.
What is it?
Somebody sent some.
It's a yeast extract that you spread on toast.
Mm. Yep, that's a that look is exactly how it tastes.
It's like it's a. I think it's an extract from the beer.
Yeah.
Brewing process.
They take the
and
yeast.
It's like a very thick,
yeah.
black tarish sort of.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound delicious.
No, it's based on an English one called Marmite.
Yeah.
And we ripped that off and called it Vegemite, and somehow.
Yeah.
Like most of our Australian icons, it's sort of just been ripped off somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. So you take the yeast and put it on more bread.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, which I know.
It's just carbs on carbs.
As someone who's very particular with your diet, I'm sure you'd love the sound of double carbs.
And tar just sounded all the way messed up. Tar? I'm good.
It's very salty. Yeah. It's just like thick and salty. But yeah, as a kid, I hated it, but I've got a real taste for it now. And it goes great with, like, you know, avocado on toast and stuff.
A little bit. That's the key. A little bit.
Well, okay. That's how you start off, but then you start chasing the high and you have to get thicker and thicker amounts. I put on quite a lot now just to feel something, you know. Okay. As I get older and my taste buds die.
That's hilarious. Sounds kind of nasty, too, as you're describing. I'm like, what are we talking about all of a sudden?
I had a fan sent me some. Actually, he met you at one of your shows because he was listening to one of my old podcasts, and I was talking about you guys. This was long before I had reached out to you about this.
Yeah, right.
And he actually went to one of your shows because he's in Australia, and he met you.
Yeah, right.
So
I'm very approachable.
Yeah. But he sent me some. And he wrote the instructions down, but I'm me, so I didn't read the instructions.
Oh.
And had I read the instructions, I would have read the part where he said, start with a little bit.
Small amount.
Instead, I like smattered it on like
it was peanut butter.
Like peanut butter.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Poof, spread that shit
that's
over.
That's what you would assume. I reckon.
Yes.
Yeah.
You would assume
most
that.
Most spreads, you want a bit of it
yeah.
on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my heart salty. Went, don't do this. Don't do this. One bite, and I was like, oh.
Man, I'm craving it right now. The more you're talking about it, I'm absolutely craving it. So I'm glad to hear you got a jar.
I got some around here somewhere. So Chicago, you went to Chicago.
Yes. I saw a couple of, like, improv shows.
Right. Chicago's big for improv.
Apparently that's the one city where it's bigger than stand-up.
Yes, absolutely.
And because it's, like, in Melbourne, there's, like, schools that teach Chicago-style improv.
Right.
So, yeah, I knew that was the... That's the place to.
Yeah, because they have Second City and IO, and yeah, we had
Annoyance.
Some, yeah,
that's the guy who started Annoyance. His name was Mick, and he he's directed like Tina Fey and Stephen Colbert and stuff.
Oh wow!
So I had this shot of Malort with him, and he said he had like a real. It was this older guy, the croaky voice said. I haven't had a shot of Malort in 8 years. I'm like, this is an honor. What an honor. Yeah, so when the locals aren't even having it, you know.
Yeah, excellent. Deshaun, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I think I'm high. And I haven't even smoked or anything.
Why?
The Laker game.
Oh, yeah, the Laker game. I thought you were talking about this crazy heat that came out of nowhere again. It was freezing this morning.
It goes cold. Extremely
hot.
And then
cold again. I had, yesterday was the first time I had running pants on. Because you know me, I'll wear my Ranger panties all day long.
It's so cold.
I had the running pants and the jacket and gloves and a hat, almost put on a balaclava just to go running. And then I came out to grab something in here earlier, and it was so hot. I was like, oh no, I'm hanging my laundry outside because it'll be done in a half hour.
Yeah.
I went to the store and I was like, yo, this is crazy. Like, I want to put the windows down, but it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so hot. And my sister thinks I'm going to rub it in because she lives in the Midwest now. I'm like, nah, I'm not rubbing in. I'm actually complaining a little bit.
Yeah, that's the difference between Chicago and here in weather is pretty.
Oh yeah, it's pretty
immense.
Brutal. I mean,
and it was warm. That was sad. Jeez, it's warm at the moment, but it was, you know, warm and you're wearing a jacket.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But it was nice. It was just like very mild. But here, this is pretty hectic weather for autumn. Fall.
This is kind of how it.
It's kind of It doesn't really get cold until like February
because it's like 30 degrees today, almost. It was like 29.
In Chicago?
No, in I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but it's like
about 80.
80 degrees. It's like it's hot.
Yeah.
This is summertime weather.
Yeah.
And I did not pack one pair of boardies or shorts at all. So I'm going to the shops after this and getting some more weather-appropriate clothes. I don't know what I was thinking. I think I just didn't look past Chicago on my trip.
Mm-hmm.
I googled Chicago weather,
yeah.
And then I packed, forgetting that I'm going to deserts next. Kind of California, then Vegas. Which
but
is...
Vegas could be cold, though, too.
Yeah.
Oh, so really?
You can be careful.
Especially at night.
Well, I'm ready. I got three jumpers, and I got all long pants.
Yeah. It can get really
socks.
Cold out there.
Okay. Well, that's good news, because I'm prepared for that.
That's how the deserts do. It's really hot,
that's
and then
true.
It's
yeah,
super
yeah.
cold. And people forget, Southern California is a desert. Yeah. We're not supposed to have green.
Yeah, right.
It's a desert, so it's hot during the day. I mean, like, Iraq, Jesus. 120 degrees during the day, and then it's like 30 at night.
It was so ridiculous that it got so hot out there. Like 100, over 100. Like not like 115, like 20s and 30s. Why? Why does it need to? I remember one time I looked, I was like, why? Why does it have to be this hot?
That is.
It don't make no sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to do the math, but that's really hot.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But and I guess deserts opposite. Are famously hot.
Because you know how like when people are in the cold and it's freezing, then it goes up a couple degrees. Everybody's like, oh, it's. Heat wave.
Yeah.
So there, when it's like 130, 140, and it drops down to 90, they're like, oh, it's cold.
They're putting on.
It's not cold.
The balaclava.
I think it's 60 Celsius for you.
Holy shit. I've never experienced that. I don't think.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're in Melbourne, maybe you get at the peak, it's sort of mid to high 40s at the absolute peak of my life, I reckon. But
yeah.
But never 50s or towards 60. That feels like people would be dying.
Oh, yeah, you felt like you were dying. Yeah. My soul was definitely dying the entire time I was there.
And that, it's like you're saying, it depends on what you're used to. Because there was a heat wave in the UK a few years ago where people were dying, and it was this weather.
Yep.
It was, you know, it was high, you know.
High 80s and 90s.
And people,
but they have no AC. They have no air conditioning.
Their buildings just aren't set up for it.
Oh, in the
and
buildings.
Old people are just, they were dropping dead. It was wild.
They should do like, what was the episode of... I'm married with children. He didn't have no air. Al Bundy took his family to the grocery store, and they sat in the freezer aisle.
Yeah, that's what they should be doing. Just go to the shopping malls and stuff.
Do me a favor. Hold your mic up here a little more. Yeah, because...
wires.
Yeah, okay. The last episode was...
I'm wiry.
It's bad. It's wiry. It's okay. So, yeah, let's talk about last night.
Yes. The good stuff.
Matt came to town, and I wanted him to have the most... Los Angeles experience possible. And we did the most Los Angeles thing
we did.
You could think of.
We got to go to the Laker game, sit in the box right next to Carlton or Alfonso Rivera, whatever you like to call
it. From the Fresh Prince.
I like to call him Carlton.
I messaged mates from home in a group chat.
Yeah.
I said, I'm in a box at the Lakers. I sent them a photo. They're like, what's happened to you?
Yeah.
Who are you? And then I said, and next door, in the box next door, Carlton from Fresh Prince is there. And they're like, holy shit. But then they said, if you meet him, don't call him that. Even back home, they're like, he doesn't like to be called that.
Yeah.
You got to call him Alfonso Roberto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, well, whatever his name
is. Alfonso Ribeiro. Yeah.
Ribeiro. Yeah.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't like Roberto either.
No.
It was awesome, though.
But that was so cool. And then, they, you know, it was
a great game.
Lakers
won.
Great,
the perfect game because Orlando got a lead.
Yeah,
and it just got swallowed in the second quarter, and then Magic built a little lead, and they were holding it and holding it right until the end. And I think the Lakers only hit the front in the last 30, 40 seconds.
Yep, that's all you needed.
And it was perfect because it got everyone. I think I asked you going in, I'm like, you should win tonight, right? And you said, yeah, we should win. So I think if it was just Lakers winning the whole time, it would have been like, all right, good win. But because it felt like
there
was
up and down.
Yeah. It really got the...
It was intense.
The vibe. It got it exciting.
Because you never want a blowout, even if your team's winning.
I just
blowouts are boring.
Yeah, exactly. So for a neutral fan, even though I was going for Lakers last night, it was the perfect result.
Yeah.
Actually, the perfect result would have been LeBron with a buzzer beater to win. But but it wasn't that far off, you know?
No, it wasn't.
Started hitting big shots late.
And then he points up to the box at us.
He did. He said, that one was for you. That was such a nice... I thought that was a really nice touch from him. And thanks for organizing that, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. He said,
happy birthday to Sean.
Yeah, that was amazing. We had a great, great time.
We had a great meal beforehand. Had some fancy beer called a Fat Unicorn.
Yes, Chubby Unicorn.
Hawthorne,
California. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
My girlfriend had a really good time at the Lakers game. Like, she really was, like, into
it. She was cheering and everything. Yeah.
She kept turning around to me. She's like, are you on your phone? I was like, no, I'm watching the game and eating ice cream.
And we,
you did.
We got a photo with the championship trophy from most recent one. Oh, and you didn't even bother getting a photo. I'm like, geez, this is what a local that he won't even. He's like, I've seen plenty of those.
Because remember they said, we were all like, oh, it's not the real trophy. There's no way. And they were like, it's the real one.
Because you got close to touching it.
Yeah.
And the minder goes, you don't touch it.
Yeah.
I was going to touch it just because he said that. How about that?
Yeah. You got escorted out.
I think I am a little
escorted out, sorry.
I think I am a little spoiled.
Escorted.
Being here and getting to do as much as I do.
I'm very spoiled.
Like,
and you'd be hanging out with touring comics from like Iowa and stuff sometimes, and they'd become like wide-eyed, I imagine, through big city LA, and you're going, all right, yeah, we'll show you our championship trophies.
I mean, I've touched them all. I think the younger comics are like that. Like, more of the more seasoned veteran comics, they've been around the block, so they don't really give a shit. But the younger comics are definitely like... Did I ever tell you a story about the kid at the improv? So this is one I used to tell this story. So I was hanging out. No, this is at the Laugh Factory. I was hanging out at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood, and I wasn't on the show. I was just hanging out with some friends. A bunch of my friends were on the show that night, and sitting next to me was this kid from the Midwest, from Iowa, for all intents and purposes. And he just kept talking to me about how much he loved comedy, and like he was a comedy buff, and he knew comedy history, and he loved this bit and that bit, and this, like, he was asking me who my favorite comics were. Doesn't know who I am, doesn't know I'm a comedian. I haven't said a word about it. I'm just like, yeah, I love these comics. I'm here to see them. They're my friends. And he's like, oh man, I want to be a comic one day. I'd love to be a comedian one day. I'm like, you can do it, man. This is Hollywood. Everybody's dream comes true at some point. So I'm like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom. I get up and go take a piss. And Enrique was running the club, my best friend. And I go to the bathroom. And the kid comes in. He goes to the bathroom. He keeps talking. And he's a nice kid. Like, I'm not shitting on him at all. He's just a very sweet kid. Just kept talking. And then Enrique busts the door open in the bathroom and goes, Tom, someone didn't show up. You're going next. I'm like, do I get to finish? He goes, no. Put it away, zip up, and get to the stage. I'm like, okay. This kid has no idea who I am. All he knows is the guy he's been talking to goes to take a leak, and then the manager of the Laugh Factory is like, you're going on stage next. So in this kid's brain, all he's got to do is like take a piss at the right bathroom. And like, he's closing
you.
Yeah. That's all he knows. He didn't know who I was. I didn't talk to Enrique the entire time. He just knows this dude he was talking to.
You sign up for the Comedy Reserve.
It can happen for me. That's what he's thinking.
It could happen to me. All I got to do is take a piss at the right urinal in Hollywood.
That's crazy.
So the important thing now is...
I ate a shit.
Yeah, okay.
I totally bombed.
and he fully lost any of his ambition. He's like, actually, that's not for me.
I'm going to get my resume together.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to school. I ate a bag of dicks that night. That was
really
no. It's fine. It was not my best. I was like, I literally had 30 seconds to figure out my
set.
It's not
the ideal prep.
No, like dick
that
in my
go
hand.
Either way,
yeah. Because then you gotta start like you're walking to the stage and you're thinking while you're on stage, like
yeah.
I don't know what to think. I don't know what to talk about.
People. I mean, I had I had the weapons in the holster. I was ready. I was like, I know what to start with. I know what to say. Just get. But it was like, I don't have anything new.
Yeah.
Just like, here's my A material that I've been doing for fucking 6 months.
Yes.
And fucking take it or leave it, and I don't give a shit. But that was...
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds.
Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
It's fine. Yeah, so the game was great. We
so good.
We sat in the box, my company box at the crypto. And
so good.
It was good.
Yes.
We ended the night with Deshaun dishing out wisdom to a young
football player.
Young football player.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he kept saying hope and wish.
Yeah.
Stop saying that. I hate when people say that.
Mm-hmm.
About your dreams. It really bothers me when people do that. Like, if you really want to do it, say things like you're going to do it, or you'll always speak positive on yourself. If not you, then who?
Yep.
That's how I feel.
Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I was getting some second-degree inspiration. Some of it was bouncing off him onto me. I'm like, maybe I can achieve anything. Maybe I can get a visa.
Get this tour going.
So tell us about yourself. Where are you from in Australia? How long have you been doing comedy? How'd you get into comedy?
I'm from Melbourne, which is like the capital of Victoria, down the southeast.
That's where the Olympics was at, right?
Yeah, 1956 Olympics.
Yeah.
Wasn't there another one more recently?
Sydney Olympics was in 2000.
Okay. That's right.
Sydney's the bigger, the bigger, more well-known city. That's the one with the bridge and the opera house.
Yes.
Melbourne doesn't have anything I don't think that anyone would know of. Apart maybe in comedy, you'd know. There's the big comedy festival in Australia.
The Melbourne Comedy Festival.
That's right. And it's they say it's the third biggest in the world, I think, after Montreal and Edinburgh.
Huh, really?
Yeah, I believe so. I
think okay.
Someone says that.
Somebody.
But I know, but America is sort of outside of that world, you know.
No, I think the Melbourne Comedy Festival is pretty big. I mean, Montreal's a huge deal. Yeah. Edinburgh's a big deal. Melbourne's a big deal. Like, we have friends that go there regularly. Not us. We're not that good.
But it's also a different sort of system here, right? You don't, it's like in Australia, most comics will work up an hour each year and then do it through a bunch of different festivals.
Yeah,
including Edinburgh, Melbourne,
right.
Adelaide. Like, there's a bunch of different ones in Australia.
Okay,
but over here, you're more likely to build up a headlining slot is your sort of main goal. Is that right? 40 minutes or whatever it is.
Or what is the goal these days?
Well, it depends. Not just the states, because are you on? Do you live in Chicago or do you live in LA?
Yeah,
because LA is more to get on TV.
Yep.
Movies, stuff like that.
Yeah, because you say acting, that's part of your credits, but that's more of an LA thing. Like, if you want to be a comedian and actor, you come here. And if you want to,
it used to be
right.
Now it's kind of like people, because of social media, can live wherever. But yeah, the goal was to build up your fan base and your, like, where you could work on the road, come here with a little bit of a name, get the name bigger. Because of whatever shows or commercials, then you get, when you go back to work the road, you get more money and stuff like that. But it's all because of your acting credits.
It's all different now.
Right.
Yeah. But also, like, I just co-starred on a show that got released, like, 2 weeks ago. Nobody gets a shit. Nobody gets a shit.
Right. So you never know what the thing's going to be. You can... Yeah. It's amazing to think about some of, like, those... You get cast in, like, a big blockbuster movie. And now some of them, they're just, like, pulling them. Like, never releasing them at all. Like, there was some sort of...
Batgirl.
Batgirl, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you must have thought, in your head, if you're one of the stars in that, you must be thinking, this is it.
Leslie Grace, who was... She was in... what's that? Lin-Manuel Miranda... Washington Heights? Or... In the Heights? No. That's a Fox show from 25 years ago. Leslie Grace... was in this Lin-Manuel Miranda movie, musical. She was great, amazing. Like everybody else in Batgirl, like Brandon Fraser.
Yes, that's right.
Michael Keaton.
He was going to, Keaton was going to be Batman again.
In
what
Batgirl.
What a bummer that hasn't turned out that sort
I
of.
I know.
Because they were talking about if those things went well.
He was supposed to be like Samuel L. Jackson is in the Marvel universe, but like as Batman.
Would have been incredible.
Yeah. He was supposed to show up in the Heights. So he was supposed to show up in Aquaman.
The Flash on the way over.
Yeah.
And I thought he was awesome.
He was awesome. The problem was the movie was called The Flash.
Right.
So The Flash should have been awesome.
Yeah,
but, right.
Right?
Right. She is gorgeous.
So that movie was supposed to make her career.
So this is Batwoman?
Batgirl.
Batgirl.
Yeah.
Oh, that movie hurts.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt more than anything. I mean, your show got released.
Yeah.
And you're telling everybody at this point, it's like, yo, I'm about to be in Batgirl.
Yeah.
We just filmed.
They were editing. They were in post. It was basically done.
That sucks.
And Warner's pulled it.
Which just seems bizarre.
Because the new president of Warner Brothers decided it would be more lucrative as a tax write-off for them to lose $90 million than to spend more money for what they said would not have been in the plan.
You don't know.
Right. You don't know.
You know what I think about anytime when people say, oh, it's not going to work? Somebody had to go into an office one day and go, guys, I got the greatest idea. We're going to take some turtles and they're going to step in some goo and they're going to be able to talk.
Yeah.
And they're going to know karate, and they're going to love pizza, and then the rat is going to adopt and be their dad. Yeah. Let's go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, if
gazillions
you heard that, you're
going to
be like, boo, get out of my office.
Yeah,
but look, it's one of the biggest things. But the first initial pitch had to be like, this dude is crazy.
Mm.
But if you took a chance, and you're already done, you might as well finish it.
Well, that's not how Mutant Ninja Turtles happen. They actually produced... Oh. I get what you're saying, but for the nerds who are listening, how that happened was Eastman and Laird actually printed the comic book themselves, black and white, sold out. They just sold out runs.
Mm.
So they didn't go to a company. They didn't go to a Marvel or a DC. They sold. They made a shit ton of money themselves, and then they sold it.
Because one would have said yes.
No. Nobody would have said that. Anyway, so.
Did that happen before Brendan Fraser blew up again?
It was in the middle of his renaissance.
Because if surely that, you've got Michael Keaton, Brendan Fraser.
Obviously, they didn't give a shit.
It's got the name Bat in the film.
Yeah. But there was so much turmoil at Warner Brothers.
Right.
Because David Zaslav took over, and then you had James Gunn and his producing partner now like running the show at DC. Yeah. So it was a whole, they were just cleaning the slate. They were just wiping the slate clean.
What's your show from 2 weeks ago? Why haven't you mentioned it before now?
Because of the strikes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like people are
not allowed to.
A couple of my fans have just like texted me and emailed me, and they're like, "Hey, you're on this show."
Holy shit, that is unlucky timing.
Fuck. We filmed it a year ago, and I've been waiting.
Man.
Like I have some great stories about like getting cast and being on the show, and
even when on stage, he would try to talk about it, but couldn't talk about it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and then
that's brutal.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say it, but if you go to my IMDb page, it's there.
And hopefully, maybe this week. You never know.
If maybe
it'll be resolved or not. But you were saying
if it doesn't get resolved this week, it's not going to happen until January.
Yeah,
personally, I don't think so. So,
well, fingers crossed. Hopefully, a good result happens.
Hopefully,
you know, I'm on the side of the big studios. Little joke there. Little joke.
I'm just happy that I know that my ex watches this show, so I'm going to show up and she's going to hate it.
Oh,
so that's
beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Revenge.
It's awesome.
I love that. I love you've still got that bitterness in your heart.
Absolutely.
As you should. Never let that go anywhere.
That's healthy. It's healthy to just hold on to it.
Just hold that hatred.
It drives you.
It makes me a better actor.
Like if
I've seen
didn't
The Last
have that,
Dance.
Yeah, cause what if it was like a scene where you had to be angry? You're not going to have nothing to pull from.
Nope.
Keep that anger.
Yep. Yeah.
Keep it.
Yeah. I'm just handing Tom an iPad now with a video of his ex saying Tom will never achieve anything.
Yeah.
He'll certainly never be in one of my favorite shows. And that seems to be fueling
multiple episodes. Yeah. So
that happened to a friend of mine, actually. Not an ex, but we both had this. I don't know if she would have been an agent or a manager. And one time he came to her, he didn't have no credits at the time, but he was like, I want this done, this. Not like that, but you know, she got mad at him. Was like, I don't want to need to deal with you then. You're never going to make it. Like a month later, he booked like a commercial. Then got a couple more commercials. And every time he had booked something bigger, I'd always hit him up and go, you're not going to make it. You're never going to make it. And then when he got on, what was the show? He got, I think it's called Good Girls.
Okay.
It's the one, the three ladies were Robin.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's the bad guy.
Okay.
Tatted up. I was like, you're never going to make it. You're trashing it. And he just always be booking. I'm like, I always wondered if that lady watches, like is flipping through and sees him and wants to slap herself.
Well, my first agent, his one of my buddies is a client of his, and when my buddy was like, hey, you should look at Tom, he goes, I already got like three guys that look like him.
Yeah.
And like the next week I booked like a very lucrative commercial.
But they don't look like this now.
Yeah. And my buddy calls him up. He's like, you just missed a pretty healthy commission.
Yeah.
And like the next week he signed me, and then I've been with him ever since.
Does he backdate that commission?
No.
Too late now.
Can't, too late now.
Snooze, you lose.
Yep. Should have did the right thing when you did it. Yeah, but comedy's different here. Even now. Yeah. It's different from 10 years ago when I moved here.
Right. Because now it's social media.
The plan used to be you get good at comedy, you move to L.A., you get seen, you wind up being Jeff Foxworthy or Rodney Carrington or one of the comics who has a sitcom. Like, that was the goal back in the day. It used to be in the 70s and 80s, it was like you come here, you get on The Tonight Show, you're Freddie Prinze Jr., and now you're in Chico and the Man, or you're
Eddie Murphy,
or Richard Pryor, or whatever, or, you know, later you wind up being
Ellen DeGeneres?
Yeah, anybody
like
that.
There's so, like, so Tim many Allen. People came through. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But sitcoms aren't even a thing anymore.
Nope.
They're not even a thing. So, like, you come out here, and like, so what is the plan? You come out and do a movie? You're a dramatic actor? I mean, one of my buddies, Mary Lynn Reicheb, she's a hilarious comedian. She's known for being on 24 for like nine seasons shit like that. So, and it's like when Saget was on Full House, like, people didn't know he was the dirtiest fucking comic on the planet.
That was such a fun reveal when I saw some of his stand-up years later.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And I've been at clubs when people are like, when Mary Lynn goes on stage and people are like, aren't you the girl from like 24?
Right.
And then she's a hilarious comedian. They're like, we didn't even know. So, like, I don't even know what the goal is anymore.
There's not sitcoms, but there's still lots of comedies, right? Like, Tiffany Haddish is starring in this sort of murder comedy I've been watching.
Mm-hmm.
But, the sitcoms have gone, though.
Yeah, right. It's not like when it was in the day.
That literally would boost people to, like we said, Tim Allen's, the Kevin James.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, so if you can get...
And
Ray Romano.
What's funny to me is, if you pay attention, because someone was asking, like, why is Carlton you get stereotyped? Because usually the comedian comes in and plays themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're not a character. And they're usually their name with a different last name.
Yes.
And then, so you don't have nothing to break away from. Mm. You've always been yourself in that sitcom. Now, the characters of the sitcom are usually so funny, and we love them for that character. That's why it's hard, especially if it's successful, for us to see you branch out of anything else.
Yeah.
You still hear Kramer's still called Kramer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carlton's still called Carlton.
It's still Carlton. Yeah. Like, if you see anybody from one of them ones, like, if you see Jaleel White, you're going to be like, Steve Urkel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was years ago, but he killed it so good, we don't want to see you do anything else.
Well, I think that's why in the show he started doing a second character to try and break out.
And that didn't even work.
Yeah.
Like,
it was
a clever idea, but it was too
late.
You were Steve Urkel. You were the greatest Steve Urkel ever. They should have just did a movie with it and capitalized more on the Urkel.
And I think people end up getting pretty bitter about being stuck in that, but I mean,
But you're still working, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be part of you that's... I think some people are and some people aren't, but some people are like, thank God for that character or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But other people, it's like a curse.
Yeah, some people ride that. Yeah, yes. Some people hate it, and some people ride it to the grave.
But if you embrace it, maybe you do get other roles and stuff, but you got to be thankful that people even know you. Because before... you were just walking around as you. Now at least they can go, oh my gosh, I love you in Wada Wada Wada, or whatever it is.
Unless they're like, I love you in Wada Wada Wada, and you're like, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
I've had that.
I hate when people, and they go, yes, it is. Why would I lie about that?
Yeah.
I know who I'm not.
So 45 minutes into the episode, let's ask the question. What is your relationship with the paranormal? Do you have one?
I really like it. I want to believe. I've been watching The X-Files lately.
Yeah.
And I want to be more a David Duchovny than a Gillian Anderson, who, like, no matter how much proof she has in front of her,
right.
Not Gillian Anderson, her character.
Scully,
sorry. Yeah. She's someone who broke her...
She's amazing.
She does all sorts of stuff.
Have you
she's
seen
played,
Gillian...
like, the Prime Minister of England.
Yeah. Have you seen Gillian Anderson lately?
No.
Dude.
Look her up now.
Dude. She was attractive in the 90s.
Yeah.
She had a glow up like you would not believe. Like, you see Gillian Anderson now and you're like, what?
Let's go.
She's hotter now than she was then.
And now look at her as Margaret Thatcher, if you really want to see her.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks for that.
But yeah, she's great. And but yeah, her character just does not want to believe.
Yeah.
Mulder wants to believe.
Yeah.
Scully will do anything.
Scully
to
got
not
pregnant
believe.
By an alien.
And she still she still was like, I don't know about this. There's got to be an explanation, Mulder.
So if you got pregnant by an alien, Matt, would
I wouldn't take me much. I just need a little bit and I'll be all in.
What would
so
it
So that's why I want to see this photo that you showed Fumiabe months ago.
Okay. I'll show you that.
But my brain will probably say, it's a trick of the light or something, but
so,
but and then on the podcast we were talking about before, Do Go On, I've read up for different episodes about Bigfoot and the mm-hmm. Mothman, like so many American ones, the Mothman from West Virginia,
that's right.
From Erie, I think. Erie, West
no, Virginia? No, no, no. Erie's in Pennsylvania.
Oh, well, that's weird that we, that's Erie. Whoever it was, yeah, wherever it was. And, you know, the Loch Ness Monster, but mm-hmm. also like there was this haunted house in England was haunted by the black monk of Pontefract. That house when we toured over there.
Did you do an episode about that?
I think on a live episode, we did a short spooky story each, maybe a Halloween special.
Okay.
So that was my one. And then like not long after we were driving basically through the neighborhood. And it did have a bit of a, you know, a bit of a feel right. about it, but it's hard to know how much of that, you know, you put
it was in your head, psychosomatic. Yeah.
It's like I went in Santa Clara the other day. I went to the Winchester Mystery House.
Yep, that was one of our first episodes.
The spookiest thing was I couldn't figure out how to buy a ticket, so I wasn't able to get in. And no one answered the phone. The door was closed.
That's so
but
funny.
I took some photos out the front, and it looked kind of fun.
You didn't go in at all?
I wasn't out. I couldn't figure out how to get in there.
I think you have to buy tickets online. I don't know.
Probably. Yeah, I tried to do that, and I just... anyway, it was cool to be near it. And then I went for a beautiful Mexican dinner just up the road. It was funny how close it was to this like very new shopping strip.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Hey, this is haunted, by the way.
Yeah.
How did you grow up? Like, what was your family's view on the supernatural? Were you religious or were you not?
Yeah, we went to church every Sunday. And so I guess I believed in, for a long time, I believed in the ghost of Jesus.
Right.
The
Holy
all
Trinity.
That, you know, heaven and all of that. Fully believed that till I was 17 and sort of just fell off it. When I read an essay by a pop punk singer,
I'm not shocked by this. Coming from you, I'm not shocked by this at all. The
Jim from Pennywise wrote some sort of a blog, and I was they're a local band, Hermosa Beach, not too far from here.
Yeah.
And
we're gonna actually be there later.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll have to get a photo next to the. Because every show they ever played, he'd say, "We're Pennywise from Hermosa Beach, California." And I've never really.
So you need
I haven't been able
sign.
To connect that. Yeah. But yeah, so he wrote some article which just was very like basic. This is why I don't believe in all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, shit, I've never even
logics.
Critically thought about this at all.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was amazing how it fell away. I went to school, a Catholic school, in the morning, fully believing in it all. And I went home for dinner, and I didn't believe in any of it. It was so weird. But
do you remember what it was in that article that made you fall away?
It was just stuff. It was just all the things that you've heard probably a million times about how people used to need explanations for why it rained and why there was thunder, and
mm-hmm.
and we know now why there are those things.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, I only know them because people say that's the truth. Right. I understand science as much as I understand faith, but still, I'm like, yeah, no, I believe the scientists.
Yeah.
But, I think I was trying to think about times I've thought I've experienced anything like that. And I remember my granddad died, and this was after I stopped believing that sort of mm-hmm. stuff. But it was the first sort of family member I knew died, and I was I think I was like 18, 19. And when I went to bed that night, I swore at the time. Now I think I was probably just wanting to feel comforted or whatever, but mm-hmm. I felt him sitting at the end of the bed and putting his hand on my leg in it, not in a weird way, and just sort of
right. Trying to comfort you.
Sort of way. And and it felt really comforting and stuff. And I fully believe that for a while. Looking back now, I'm like, it's probably just, you know, my mind trying to be kind to me or whatever.
Right, right. Okay.
And I haven't, I can't really remember anything since. You know, apart from I'll watch a horror movie and then all of a sudden you're feeling...
Yeah. Then you want to go to the bathroom.
Oh, that's everything. I remember the first time I watched Arachnophobia. I thought there were spiders on me.
Yeah, you can feel.
Oh, my gosh. It was so gross.
You see a spider web and all of a sudden you can feel them on you. Yeah.
It's like when you're laying in bed sometimes and you feel maybe like a bug or something and you think you feel a bug and then the rest of the night you're just scratching your leg. You're like, oh, man, my bed's infested with whatever. And it's nothing. It's nothing. It's just the wind blowing your leg hairs a little bit.
Yeah. So that's why I'm keen on it, though. I'd love to believe. I even the idea of ghosts probably used to trip me out a bit, but now I'm like, man, I'd love to see a ghost.
What would it take for you to believe? What kind of evidence?
I'd probably have to like see something myself and be confident it's a real thing.
Okay.
Which is probably a very high I just think my brain will explain away photos and videos.
Your brain's not going to explain away this.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to this.
So we're going
to
show you this, and then we'll wrap up, because we're actually going to do an episode of your podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Who Knew It with Matt Stewart.
I'm looking forward to that. I've got a few...
I really want to see what you say about this picture / video.
Yeah.
I love to see when people try to justify...
Was that the first time you played it or showed it to Fuma Abi? Or
Yeah. Every once in a while, we'll show people just to see what they say.
Yeah, because I listening to it, I'm like, I'm dying to see what this is.
Okay, so did you hear the explanation of what happened?
So you were near a mining area.
Yeah,
I thought the story was going to the place because you went for dinner, and a woman said that they were closed.
Yeah,
and then I thought you were going to say. And then we asked someone else, and they said, the woman directed us down here, and they said, there hasn't been a woman at a restaurant for 70 years.
That would have been crazy.
That would have been crazy. So, you know the basic story. We went to this mine. We take some pictures. We leave. We don't see anything until later that night when this comic is like, hey, what is this? So what you're looking at is a screen grab of his phone. He actually recorded this, so this is actually a video. But all of those photos that you see, you're only going to see this in one photo, and these were taken moments from each other,
right.
Okay? So you keep that mic near your mouth. We're going to let this play, and you tell me what you see.
Okay. Holy shit. That is... Whoa.
He's going to adjust the contrast.
Oh, man. That's a head without a body.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's like a... And you swear that like every photo either side of it, there was nothing there.
Nothing there.
Wow, that's like clear as day ahead.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'll see them and it'll be a lens flare.
Yeah.
And people say this is the spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, that's the dirt. Light.
Yeah.
Yeah, or dirt or, yeah. That's a speck on the lens. Wow.
But that's very clearly a face.
And you were there.
I was.
And you trust this friend isn't fucking with you.
No. Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
I actually have video of me taking
videoing him
taking this photo. So the moment that he's taking this photo, I have video of that moment happening.
That is, trusting you and your trust in your friend. So there's a couple of steps there. But if that's all legit, I don't know how to explain that at all.
Yeah. That's very clearly a face.
He looks like an Australian... comedy director Henry Stone, who I'm pretty sure could not have been there that day,
because he died in 1869.
Wow! Crazy. So and that's the thought. This is a ghost of a miner.
That's our thinking. That's what we think.
Oh, I wonder if you can get records of
here. So my girlfriend works at a very reputable, you know where she works. Yes. She works at a museum, and she got me the list of names of the miners who were killed in that mine. So part of my research project that I've been working on top of the other 9 projects that I've been doing is trying to track this person down.
This has made me feel like a like a feeling. I don't know how to explain it. Like
really?
In my chest, I can feel like...
Really?
Yeah, it's surreal. I love it.
Hey, really? Because I remember the first time I saw it, I said, that's a face.
Yeah.
And there's no... Where is the body?
Yeah.
So there's no way to fake it.
And sometimes, you know, people say, I saw a face in the clouds or in a tree or something. Yeah. It's like, I can see how you see that in the grain of the wood, but that is a face.
Without a body.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just the face.
And it was not there a split second earlier and a split second later.
Yep. All those photos that you saw at the beginning of that video are just moments from each other. And none of these photos have that image in there.
Sick. I love it. Well, that's great. So we're all going to live forever as long as we have unfinished business.
That's why I don't finish anything.
Yeah, so the key is to procrastinate. And that's the key to eternal life.
Well, I haven't returned a movie to Blockbuster, so there is.
That's perfect. That's going to get harder to do now.
Yeah, I know. There's only one left, and it's in Oregon.
And I would say, can you return it? Oh, there's one in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. There's only one left.
It stays open.
Well, this has been fun, man. I'm excited to do Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, which is on the Do Go On podcast. Where can people find you on the internet?
Matt Stewart Comedy on Instagram, and I think my website's MattStewartComedy.com.
I love that you're not sure about this.
Yeah, that's what
I mean, I'm not often looking it up. But I do believe in myself. I'll tell you that for nothing to Sean. Yeah, Matt Stewart Comedy mainly, and I think if you look up Matt Stewart Comedy, you'll find me.
And, of course, Do Go On podcast.
Yeah, if people like spooky stuff, it's more like talking about the history of things, the Bigfoot story, the Mothman story is great. I'm Meso from Weekly Planets on that episode.
But it's not just spooky stuff.
That's everything. Yeah.
It's
the life of Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
The history of World War I. And there's a bunch of army vet badasses. We call them World War II badasses.
Chesty McPuller or Puller McChesty, the Marine guy.
Chesty Puller.
Chesty Puller. Yeah. Who's the airplane guy?
Oh, yeah. The Red Baron?
No. Stole some money, jumped out of a plane.
Oh, yeah. D.B. Cooper.
D.B. Cooper. Yeah, because you have a Patreon level, the D.B. Cooper
that's
level.
The Dreamboat Cooper.
Yes.
We figured out that's what the D.B. stood for. That man was, he was hot.
Did you see Loki last season?
Loki
was D.B. Cooper.
Do you think this means anything? So I was in Chicago, and then on the last night, I got back to my hotel, and I put on the new episode of Loki, and it was set in Chicago.
Crazy.
What are the odds of that? And it was set because awesome. It was like, I just learned that day about the Great Chicago Fire, and that's why they call it the Second City, because they rebuilt it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go either side of the fire in Loki, because he can time travel now. He's a Norse god.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who for some reason now is like a time traveling bureaucrat.
Yes. That's you basically explained it. That's about right.
I've only got into the world of comics stuff in the last 5 years or something.
Because of Meso.
Because of Meso. And now it's I don't know how to explain how the Loki journey arrived there.
It's a circular story. I mean, that's his whole journey. It's just, it never ends.
Right.
So that's the whole deal with OB and the circle of the sacred timeline.
Great character.
Yeah, yeah.
Good to see.
Ki Hui Kwan.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's so good.
So happy for that guy. Won an Oscar after 25 years of Hollywood going, who are you?
Yeah. Harrison Ford remembered.
Yeah.
Apparently that made him real happy one time.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful story.
As it should. Where are you?
I am Deshaun Ross. That's D-S-E-A-N, and then Ross. And I post whatever I can when I can.
I am at _TomTran, T-H-O-M-T-R-A-N. The show is at Scary Funny Show across the internet. I am super happy that we got Matt on the show when Jess and Dave come over. I'll have to get them on the show as well.
Yeah, they love it, I'm sure.
If you want to support
Dave definitely believes.
Dave, yes.
He's a big believer. Jess, big skeptic.
I would love to have them both on the show.
Same time.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
The show is at Scary Funny Show across the internet. If you want to support us, grab a t-shirt, a mug, a mouse pad, a poster, whatever you want from our TeePublic store.
Tom, just like that day I read Jim from Pennywise's blog, and I started the day a believer and ended a non-believer. Today, in between seeing that photo, I started this podcast a non-believer, and I'm finishing somewhat of a believer.
I am so happy to hear
that.
So happy to hear that. If you want to be a believer like Matt, keep listening to the show. Leave us a 5-star rating, good comment, tell your friends about the show, and come on back. Happy Halloween. We're dropping this the day after Halloween, but happy Halloween. Thank you for listening, and this is 50-something plus episodes of The Scary Funny Show. So thank you again for listening. Keep laughing or die trying.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.